AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
I'm John Batchelor with Tyler Anbinder. The book is Plentiful Country, The Great Potato Famine and the Making of Irish New York. We're in a moment now when entrepreneurial fever strikes a note of genius. There's a man named Phelan, who's an extremely famous billiards player. Huge crowds gather around him. There's a man named Colander, who has the good sense to marry Phelan's daughter, 15-year-old daughter, and live happily with her. However, the two of them have an idea, which is to mass-produce pool tables. But how to win the favor of so many pool table makers in New York, billiards tables? The idea is to make a table like no other. Professor, Ulysses Grant is a pool player. What do they do for him?
So Phelan and Colander, as you mentioned, create what's considered the best pool table of the era. Michael Phelan was a famous billiards champion, but always complained that the rails on the pool tables did not give accurate caroms. And he complained about this, and his son-in-law, who was not much of a pool player, but had a nose for business, said, we can make some money on this. We're going to patent this. And so the son-in-law patents Phelan's idea for better pool table cushions. And then they start making pool tables. And they immediately become a success. Phelan is so famous. So successful that they are the most popular pool table in the Eastern United States by the end of the Civil War. And one of the people who loves playing pool, it turns out, is the most famous general from that Civil War, Ulysses S. Grant. And in the period after the Civil War, he makes a good deal of money from his fame. And one of the things he does with his earnings is he wants to buy himself one of these famous Phelan and Colander pool tables. And so he goes to their showroom in Lower Manhattan and orders one. But the owners, Phelan and Colander, two Irish immigrants, they decide we can't just give an ordinary table to the savior of the country. And so they make him a magnificent table with gold ornamentation on it with the general's initials and so forth. And they bring in the press to see this magnificent table. And so it's written up in the press all over the country, and they deliver it to Grant. And so a year later, when Grant is elected president, he then brings it to the White House and creates in what would become the West Wing a pool room in which he shows off his pool skills to his guests and forces them to play pool with him, even if they're against their wishes.
You have a photograph of the pool table in your book, not a photograph, a drawing. But the one that compels me is the drawing of Phelan and Colander billiards tables, a factory on 10th Avenue. Is anything left of that? Because there's some buildings over there that haven't been renovated.
No, that building, that was a factory that stretched the length from 27th to 28th Street. The entire west side of 10th Avenue was this huge factory to make their pool tables. But they were so popular that they ended up moving not very long after they moved into that factory into an even bigger factory in Stamford, Connecticut, and that was torn down and replaced. So no, there's nothing left of the Phelan and Colander 10th Avenue pool table factory.
Now that we've gone through as best we can, there's so many more stories here. I feel that we've left out that 160, 170 years later, it begins to answer questions about how America was stronger because all these people came and mixed together. Professor, in the course of compiling all this from the digitalization records, what did you learn? We have about 30 seconds. Is there one thing that you learned that you hadn't understood before about the Irish in America?
The thing I learned that most surprised me was, you know, the famine Irish are always portrayed as kind of coming to America, getting the worst jobs in America and being stuck in them for their whole lives because of discrimination and a lack of education. And so I was shocked to see how many of the famine Irish actually pulled themselves up by their own bootstraps, so to speak, and were able to climb the socioeconomic ladder. Not always as dramatically as Hugh Colander, who goes from a drapery maker to one of the richest men in America on the back of his pool table business, but even in more modest ways, that the Irish were very determined, very ambitious, and very entrepreneurial. And even those who came during the famine managed to improve their lives in the United States.
Tyler Anbinder is Emeritus Professor of History at George Washington University. Plentiful Country is his new book, Great Famine, Great Potato Famine, and the Making of Irish New York.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.